Welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor David Hall. If you'd like to find out more about David or to keep up to date with his ministry, you can visit davidhall.com.au. We hope that you enjoy the message.
It says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Let me say that again. He said, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. Let me just interrupt that for just 1 minute. Luke's being very nice, saying the report went around. Mark was more honest and said this guy disobeyed and he went and told everybody, even though Jesus had said not to. The report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Let me just say this, if Jesus needs to withdraw and pray, how much more do you and I need to withdraw and pray from time to time and seek God? This story is a powerful story. There is a man here who has leprosy, and the Bible says he was full of leprosy, and the meaning of that was that he was in his last stages of leprosy. He needed a great miracle from God. And for this man, leprosy was a statement of a curse. It was a statement that he had fallen out of favor with God. It was a statement that God was judging him. And so he wasn't just battling a physical battle, but this was a great spiritual battle for him as well. He needed breakthrough, body, soul, and spirit. He needed God to touch his life and do something supernatural. And the most remarkable thing happens in this passage. And I guess if I was going to break down my message into five stages, because they're not really keys, but the first part of this message is we see him make a request. Somebody say request. He makes a request to God. He asks him a very pointed and powerful question. And I think if Jesus could have paid someone money to ask a good question, he would have slipped him 50 bucks to ask him this question, because it gave Jesus a platform to clarify his desire and plan in the face of brokenness and challenge. And he says this, he says to Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See, he knew that Jesus had the power. Let me say that again. He knew that Jesus had the power. How much is that like us when we pray for things? We know God can, but the question sometimes is, Lord, will you? Is it your will? God, we know you're able. We know that you have all power. We know you have authority. We know you are the Son of God. We know that you can do the supernatural. But the question that I want to ask you, God, today is, Are you willing? Is it your will to do this in my life? And right there, Jesus, he removed the if out of the equation. He took the if out of that equation and he said, let's drop the if. I want to tell you right now, I am willing. And you know, too often, we've got to understand that this man actually did us a great service. This sick man did us a great service when it comes to the life of faith and building the kingdom of God. The service that he did for us today, 2,000 years ago, that we can enjoy today, is that he gave us an example of getting clarity when it comes to the things of God. Now, there are some things that are always God's will. The Bible makes those clear, and we can talk about those in just a moment. And there are some things that may not be his will. A step of faith that we take, maybe to go and do something for God, or go and step out in a certain business venture, or to step out in work, or to you know what I'm saying? There are some things that are absolutely the will of God, some things that are things that we may want to do or have a desire to do. And this man shows us a principle that I believe we should have in our world and apply to our life, and that is to clarify the will of God before we just step out and do grand things. See, there is a difference when we see Peter, and you all know this, when he stepped out of the boat and he walked on water, He didn't just go out to the water one day and go, you know what, I'm going to walk out on water today. Praise God. He would have sunk. But he made a decision. He called out to God. He said, if you want me to come, Jesus, say come. And Jesus says, come. And right there, the will of God was clarified. And so he was able to walk on that water because he knew what the word of God was in that situation. And as Christians, so often we'll do certain things and try and sense an anointing for it and just declare that must be the will of God. Can I say, as Christians, Gideon, he waited. God spoke to him and he still tested it. He still said, God, is it your will? He put fleeces out, probably almost too far the other way. But the truth is, as Christians, we would live a lot safer. We would live a lot more blessed. We would see a lot more victory if when we're about to step out and do something for God, we take a minute and clarify the will of God in a situation. And when it comes to healing, the clarity is already there. Jesus clarified it right there. He said, I am willing. I am willing. I will. It is my will. Can I tell you, as the people of God sitting here today in the house of God this morning, we need to understand that God's will is blessing. God's will is favor. God's will is provision. God's will is to deliver and set free and heal by the grace of God. It's his will to baptize in the Holy Spirit. It's his will to pour out the gifts and the blessings of God. And so when we sit here today, our faith, now let me say this, the reason we need to clarify with God, through his word, through his Holy Spirit, is because if we don't know the will of God in a situation, it is truly impossible to have faith. That's right. Because as F.F. Bosworth says in Christ the Healer, the book, every Christian needs to read that book to understand healing. He says, faith comes where the will of God is known. Let me say that again. You should even write this down. Faith comes where the will of God is known. If we don't know what God's will in a situation is, how can you have faith for that to happen? Faith comes where God's will is known. And Jesus says, I am willing. He says, I am willing. Do you know, if you study the Bible, one of the things that the Bible says is, in Exodus 20, is you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. To take the name of the Lord in vain, some of us think that that means dropping the name of Jesus when we're having a bad day and we use the name of Jesus as a swear word and a curse word. Now, that's actually not taking the name of the Lord in vain. I mean, it is at some level, but that's actually what the Bible calls blasphemy. And taking the name of the Lord in vain is a different thing. Again, it includes that. So I'm not letting you off the hook. You can't do that. While it includes that, the bigger picture of taking the name of the Lord in vain is to use his name when he hasn't given authority for that name to be used. For example, the Lord's telling me to tell you something. When you knowingly know that you're wanting to say something or you're wanting to get something to happen, you know, I feel God telling me to do this, so you do it. When you really know maybe the Lord hasn't spoken, that's actually taking the name of the Lord in vain. And another way we take the name of the Lord in vain is when we say certain things even about ourselves, because we need to understand we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, let me say this. If you say, I am a failure, or I'm never going to succeed, or I am sick, or I'm not going to prosper, or I'm not called, or I'm not this, or I am not that, or I am not this. The only name that God ever gave himself in the Bible, not names that were given to him, the only name in the Bible that he gave himself was the name I Am. When he said to Moses, I am who I am. So let me say this. We've got to be careful with how we use that name I am and attach it to sickness, when we attach it to failure, when we attach it to disappointment, when we attach it to this or that, I am this, I am that. We've got to understand, if we're going to lift up the I am name of God, let's not reduce it by having a false declaration over our lives using the name I am. That's a powerful name. You should say, I am blessed. I am the head, not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I'm full of power by the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody, you're alive in the house of God. And you know, we've got to understand, if we start to lose our faith in God, we can take an I am to an I was. If we say God doesn't heal, he goes from being I am the Lord that healeth thee to I was the Lord that healeth thee. And I want to tell you today, we serve the God who's alive. And I don't want to get to a point where we start reducing God and lacking faith and not seeing the clarity of his will. And we start making the I ams of God get smaller, and he becomes I was that I was. He is that he is. When he said I am, he was saying I am past, present, future. The writer of Hebrews, Paul, echoes that when he says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you with me this morning? And so we got to understand that the will and the purpose of God doesn't change. One of the attributes of God is he is immutable, which means he does not change. His methods might change, but his will and purpose never changes. Come on, somebody. That should build your faith this morning. It's building my faith. He's not the God who was. He's the God who is right now. He's a right now God. And the Bible says now faith is. The Bible says, so we need to have now faith in a right now God. It says there is a river, a right now river. Some of you are going to get this in your spirit today. Your circumstances are going to change because you're too busy lamenting about the God who was. I want to tell you the one who is alive in this place. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in the house this morning. Man, I'm preaching myself happy today. Bless God. He says, I am willing. So there was a request, and then he gave this response. I am willing. And it's not the first time he says, I am. He says in Exodus 15, 26, 6, I am the Lord who heals. In Psalm 30, my voice just broke. Apparently I've turned 15 again. He said, Psalm 35 verse 3 says, I am your salvation. In Revelation 1:18, I love this. He says, I am he that lives that was dead. And behold, now I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. He says in Revelation 1:8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to Father except by me. Genesis 15:1, he says, I am your shield. And he says in John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. We got to put a bit more grunt back into the I am. I mean, we got to get a bit of fresh faith in the great I am. Come on, somebody, help me preach a little. I'm working hard today. I'm working on no sleep. It's a long weekend. Jesus, help us. We got to be careful with our view of God. I am, not I was. I am, not I was. Can I tell you, when you request, he'll respond. He responds, and then there's a release of the power of God. He touches him. He touches him. And he gets healed. You know, I love pastoring this church. I love pastoring our city campus. I love what God's doing across our two locations. I do want to say this. If there's one thing that I don't love about our church at the moment, is the sheer level of sickness that's come upon the people of God. When we sit in the room today and I see guys like Keith back there battling and believing God, I feel, you know, and then I preach this message knowing there's people in this room who have in a lot of ways felt like this hasn't happened in their world. And so you walk that tension. You don't want to sort of get in people's pain, but at the same time, we've got to stop this flow. We've got to stop this flow of sickness and disease and believe that God is who he says he is. And can I tell you, we've got to start to clarify the will of God. And the will of God, he says, I am willing. He says, I am the Lord that heals you. He says, by my stripes, you are healed. And we might not see it all the time, but I refuse to let my theology change to accommodate tragedy. There are things that we don't always understand. There are things that we don't always have a grasp on. But what we do know is greater is he that lives on the inside of us. And church, can I tell you, we've lost a few fights and it hasn't been fun. It's been difficult days. But I'm telling you, we're going to stop losing these fights and we're going to start seeing a change in the atmosphere. Because I'm telling you something, we've got to see miracles. Come on, give the Lord a praise in here this morning. Come on, give him a praise in the house. There's breakthrough here today if you believe God. He says nothing's impossible to them that believe. We've got to clarify the will of God, and it needs to be clarified today. He's a healer. He's a way maker. He's a restorer of broken lives. He's a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's coming again. He's alive. And I tell you, my faith, sometimes I've got to, not sometimes, all the time, we have to be so careful that our faith doesn't get smaller and smaller and smaller and start creating theologies for failure and start saying, God, you know what? Even in spite of, though he slay me, still I trust him. God, I don't understand everything, Lord. I don't have all the answers, but I still trust you. I still know you're able. I still believe. I still believe it's your will. I stand here today. I don't have all the answers. I've got a massive bucket of I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in my I don't know. But we can't, we've got to be so careful that even in our bucket of I don't know, we don't reduce the bigness of God. We can say, God, this and this don't match up, but we're going to keep believing you. We're going to keep trusting you. We're going to keep holding on to your hand. Because too often, the best thing that the devil can achieve is if he can get us going, you know what, tragedies come, we don't, maybe God's not who he says he is. And I want to tell you today, even though sometimes it's hard, even though it seems impossible, we should still square our shoulders and say, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe. And what do we believe? We believe he's a healer. We believe he's a way maker. We believe he turns things around. We believe that Keith's going to be joining the javelin squad again. And we're believing that you in this place are well and whole by the grace of God. We believe that God's a healer and a way maker in the name of Jesus. Man, I feel this in my spirit today, because too often we give up the fight. And part of being people of faith is even when it seems like things haven't gone our way, we still trust him. Do you believe that? Do I have any friends in the house this morning? Do I have any people of faith in the house today? I got faith that this church is going to change our city for the glory of Jesus. I got faith that we're going to see all our locations be too small for what God wants to do. I have faith that we're going to see revival in the south and the north and the east and the west in our city. I have faith that even though there's probably a million out of 1.2 million in this city that don't know Jesus, I'm believing that God has put us right here not to shrink back, not to withdraw, but to press on and say we're going to be a church of God's spirit, a church of the supernatural, and see God do something and rain down on our city in the name of Jesus. I am willing, he says. So there's a request, there was a response, there was a release. And then Jesus gives him some requirements. But before I talk about those, the order of this is fascinating to me. The requirements came after the healing, after the grace had been given. In other words, what Jesus is showing us here, what Luke's showing us here, the Holy Spirit's showing us here, is what I probably should have said, is that you can't earn a miracle. You can't earn the grace of God. You can't earn answers to prayer. I think you can sabotage answers to prayer. I think you can sabotage the power of God in a situation. But Jesus gave him requirements after the deal had been done. He didn't say jump through this. Now, there were times where Jesus got guys to step out in faith. He got them to do crazy things. But in this case, in what I believe is a very important theological piece of scripture when it comes to divine healing, Jesus shows us right there's nothing he could have done except trust God. And then after he trusted God, Jesus heals him. And then he says a couple of things. And I want to just share some of these with you. There were some requirements. And the first thing he says, number one, Jesus says to him, he says, do not tell anybody. He says, tell no one. Now, when I share my second thought, there'll be a bit more clarity as to why Jesus said that. But I also think there, and this is just maybe some preacher's imagination, and it's just a thought, take it or leave it. But I can't help but wonder if maybe Jesus is saying to him, you need to guard what's just happened in your life. You need to guard that touch of God on your life. You need to guard that healing anointing that's just come on you. Treat it as precious. Treat it as valuable. Can I tell you, the anointing, the presence of God is the most valuable thing that we have other than the blood of Jesus. The greatest gift God gave the world was the blood of Jesus on Calvary. The greatest gift that he ever gave the church was the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the power of God touches you, when you have an encounter with the Spirit of God, it's valuable. It's precious. And you know, as a church, I pray that we will always be a people who place value on the anointing of God, who put weight on God's presence. For me, I want to be a presence-driven church. I want this church to be known as a place where the presence of God is, and people can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the life of God can transform and set free and deliver. Today, you might be sitting here, and I don't know where you're at, but I will tell you, if the presence of God can get in your world, things will change. Things will get better. Hope will come into your heart. I believe in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. During worship today, as they were leading worship, when they started singing that last song, it might have even been the second last song, there was just a moment where I felt a bit of a shift in the room. I felt just a shift in the atmosphere. I thought, there's a presence of God. Sometimes the presence of God is here right as we're praying. The Spirit of God comes in. Some mornings it's a tougher push, but there are times and seasons where you just recognize the presence of God has come in here. Now something's going to happen. And I want us to be a church that put value on the power and the presence of God. Value on the anointing. See, I'm not embarrassed if someone speaks in tongues in our church. I'm not embarrassed about it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed if someone hits the floor under the power of God. I'm not ashamed to be a Spirit-filled church. I'm not ashamed that because the power of God isn't always comfortable. It sometimes can get a bit, whoa, what's going on here? And I also don't want to be deliberately go from being Pentecostal to Pentahostal. You know, I don't want to get to a point where we go from being charismatic to charismaniacs, but at the same time, I still don't want this place to be so safe and so orderly that there's no presence of God in the room. I want it to be a bit raw. I want it to be a bit wild. I want the power of God to be in this place. I want it to be a place where miracles happen. Come on, somebody, where lives are changed, where people are impacted by the grace of God. We need to place value on this. Simon the sorcerer in the Bible tried to buy the power of God. And boy, did they rebuke him. They said, you're terrible. How dare you? You need to repent. You cursed you. But you know, maybe I'm seeing it wrong. But I've always had a bit of sympathy for Simon the sorcerer. Because I think maybe he obviously felt there was value in it. I'm not saying we can buy the anointing. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus. But he knew that it had value. He knew it was worth something. And something this powerful shouldn't be free. Oh, but it is. By the grace of God. But it doesn't mean it didn't come without a cost. And I believe that if we realize the price it was paid for us to have what we have, we need to treat it with great value. So I'm not saying we should tell no one. We should tell everybody. But we should guard it and protect it and say, God, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your touch. Number two, nearly done. Actually, let me just stay on it for a minute. We'll go back to number one. In Mark, it does tell us that this man disobeyed Jesus. He went and told everybody. And the Bible says, so Jesus withdrew himself. And he went and prayed. I don't want to be so casual with the touch of God. The grace of God, God's not going to withdraw himself from our lives. Don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching any condemnation. But there are things you can do as far as the anointing in a room that just cause God to just, you know what, I'll just take my hands off because they're just doing it in their own strength. They're doing it in their own way. And he gave the guy a pattern. He said, go show yourself to the priest. We'll talk about that in a minute. He gave this man a pattern to get himself reinstated in society, but he disregarded the pattern of God and he still did it his way. And I say, when it comes to the anointing and the presence of God, let's make sure we always do it his way, by the word of God, by the leading and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And number two, he says, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, of course, they didn't have phones in those days or whatever the case, but it's not like he could just send a message. The priest had to see him healed and whole. It's interesting, he says, don't talk about it, just show yourself. Because there's a lot more power in a walking testimony than just a spoken testimony. Now, I'm not saying that your testimony isn't powerful. I'll talk about that in a minute anyway. But there's nothing more powerful than the fruit of a changed life, rather than just saying, my life is changed. You know, when we see teenagers at camp get changed by the grace of God, see God do something, For me, it's wonderful when God touches them there, but I pray that when they go home from that camp, that mum and dad know that something's happened. Because they'll never tell mum and dad, but I pray that mum and dad can just see there's a change in their life. They're not as bad as they were. They're not as disrespectful as they were. They're putting their underpants in the laundry basket and their T-shirts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nothing more powerful than the fruit of a changed life rather than just the proclamation of a changed life. And let me say, don't stop proclaiming. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not banning things. I'm not trying to tell you suddenly just walk around and be spiritual and show yourself to everybody and whatever, figuratively speaking. But what I am saying to you today is that let's treat this stuff. Let's treat the grace of God and the transformation of God with more value than just talk. I find Pentecostals, we're good talkers. We know how to talk good spiritual stuff. Some of it really isn't all that powerful because we just do it over and over again. And some of us, we hear from God. Some people hear from God so much, oh, God showed me this, I saw that. And I'm not doubting. God loves to speak to us. He loves to show us himself and bless us. But, you know, sometimes we're so big with the God showed me this, I saw that, this thing happened. I had this, the visitation, that went on, this happened. Surely at some point, if there's a whole lot of that, surely there should be some changed lives in it as well, you know? Because if you look at the very few times God spoke to Moses, if you look at the very few times God spoke to some of those guys that changed the world, some of us who have the privilege, all of us, we technically do, have the privilege of uninterrupted fellowship with God, it should affect our walking testimony. Is it quiet in here, or am I speaking Chinese, or are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? But I want the presence of God to change the world around me. I want people to know he's been with Jesus. He's touched heaven. And you know, I want to encourage you. You might have a verbal testimony. Share the verbal testimony. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word they're spoken. So I'm not saying don't testify. I'm saying testify, but make sure you're a living testimony as well as a spoken testimony. Let me tell you, there's something about testimonies. I happen to believe that when you share a testimony of what God did, the anointing that was there in the moment that caused the breakthrough in your life, of which you are now testifying, I believe it stirs that anointing in the present moment. So you start telling someone about how you found Jesus, the same anointing that got on you when you got saved suddenly just comes up when you start talking. When I start talking about the encounters with God that I had growing up and as a young fella in revival meetings and at church youth camps and different meetings that I'd go to with my dad, with other pastors and preachers, and being on the altar calls and being touched by God. Can I tell you, when I look back on those moments and I start talking to them, I go straight to that moment because I feel what I felt the day he touched me. When I start telling people to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, I remember the night that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and my life was changed by the grace of God. February 1995 in the Adelaide Entertainment Center on a Thursday night, the preacher was preaching. Rodney Howe Brown was over from South Africa and he starts preaching, calls me out. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I began to pray in other tongues and I can tell you that moment changed my life. And when I talk about that moment, I feel what I felt that night. The same Spirit just comes and just says, you know what? I'm going to prove to them that what you're talking about is real, because he says you overcome. That overcoming power of God brings it back and makes it work. And bless God, I'm getting excited this morning, and I pray you are today. Let our lives be a living testimony of the glory of God. Jesus also said, go to the priest. See, Jesus knew the right context for that story to be told. You know, sometimes I think we've got to get the wisdom of God with sometimes the context to which we start sharing the gospel and having wisdom. So I'm not saying there's a context that you shouldn't, but I always think we should inquire of God and say, God, how do you want me to approach this? Where's your wisdom in this situation? Speak into it by leading me, Holy Spirit, because I'm listening. And God will talk to you. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit always wants to speak to you. You might not know the voice of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's hard to hear. I really don't believe. I believe that when you're fully yielded to God, your conscience often is the Spirit of God just bringing adjustment and correction and help and guiding and listening to the voice of God and listening to the Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you through his word. He'll speak to you through wise counsel and people in your life. There's nothing more powerful than the guiding of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is my last thought. The third thing Jesus said, he said, make an offering. Make an offering. Now, Jesus was saying, bring an offering that was an Old Testament law offering that a leper would bring if somehow he was cured. He would have to bring an offering. Now, although he touched Jesus, Jesus knew how important it was for things to be done right in that time. And Jesus never short-circuited the processes that he had put in place, because in a lot of ways, the new covenant started at Calvary, not just at Matthew chapter 1. And so Jesus was aware of the structure of the day. He was aware of the processes of the day. Though he was about to change them, he still knew what the expectations were of the population at that time. And he said, I don't want my anointing. Jesus said, I don't want my healing. I don't want my grace. I don't want the touch of God to get on you and suddenly give you the right to get unaccountable, to do your own thing, to step out of covering, to step out of protection. There is nothing more scary to me than someone that's anointed and unaccountable. There's nothing more dangerous in the life of a local church than someone who's anointed and unaccountable. Because the problem is, your anointing can take you where your character can't keep you. And I'm not saying I'm Mr. Character, but can I say I'm also very accountable in a lot of places. There's people in my world that can say no. There's people in my world that can adjust things in my life and say, David, you need to work on that. Because I've made a choice. God, if you're going to trust me with your anointing, I can't afford to be unaccountable. I can't afford to just do things my way. And I need to be covered. I need to be protected. And you know, in this room today, the anointing of God isn't licensed to just go and just do your own thing and just do Christianity your way, breeze in, be led by the wind. We still need to be planted. We still need to build the church. We still need to edify what God's doing in our city and see God move in the city of Adelaide by His grace. The anointing of God should always still equal accountability and covering in our life, because covering's safe. Covering's protected. You know, people, they'll pull out of church and just do it their own way. And the Bible says, lions perish for lack of prey. And you know, what that's saying is that a lion will easily grab its prey in the African jungle. But if the prey that he seeks is connected with the flock that it's meant to be with, more often than not, the lion won't go near it. See, the devil looks to get a hold of people who are isolated, who are just doing their own thing. I have never met, and I know I won't because I know it doesn't exist, I've never met an effective Christian for Jesus who's not submitted and planted in a local church. I've never met someone. I've met a lot of people that have an anointing that just do their own thing. You watch over time, it just eventually and over time, that lack of submission and connection to something eventually becomes their unraveling, because it just might mean that there might be a voice in the life saying, adjust this. That little adjustment. See, if I get on an aeroplane, right, take it off, I'm not a pilot, but if I did, I wanted to fly to LA. I'm just 1 degree out. Just 1 degree. Of 360. I'm gonna land in Canada or Mexico, you know. Seriously. And you know, it's just 1 degree. And sometimes I feel like accountability just keeps us. You know, going to church keeps you accountable. Not because I'm going to come and go, now, what did you do this week? I'm not like that at all. I'm not controlling. As long as you're blessed and happy, that's all I care about. But seeing your friends, seeing people you know, being around people of like spirit causes us to grow together. And we just become accountable because we're walking together and we're doing this thing together. And if we get too strange, you've got a friend going, what's going on? You know, it just keeps us. It just keeps us going together. I believe we need more anointing. We need to guard it. We need to submit it. We need to protect it. We need to let it change us. So there, where are we up to? There was the release. There is the requirement. And then at the end it tells us that, and it says this in verse number 15, it says, however, the report went around. And great multitudes came to hear, and he healed, to be healed by him of their infirmities. I'm going to close with that and just say there was a report. Can I tell you, you as people of God, there's reports you hear every day. There's reports on TV. There's reports maybe from the medical world about your physical life or whatever. But we have a choice every day. Do we believe the report of the world or do we believe the report of the Lord? Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report and to who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. The report of the world says Christianity is declining in Australia. But the report of the Lord is, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The report of the world says your kids aren't going to serve God. The report of the world says sickness is going to plague your life. The report of the world says all these negative things. But I choose this day to say, I refuse to believe the report of the world. I believe the report of the Lord. And I've said this before. This is not a new statement. But facts and truth can be at odds with each other. The facts might be you're sick. But the truth is, he's the Lord that heals you. The facts might be that you are, that the doctors have said there's nothing we can do. But the truth is, by his stripes we are healed. And you know, I choose to remain steadfast and believe the truth, because the truth will always trump the facts. And believe God, that God is who he says he is. Let the report of the Lord go out in this city that God's moving. Let the report of God go out in Adelaide that God's changing lives and people are going to be impacted. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. The world's going crazy right now. I mean, literally, kids 6 or 7 years of age are being murdered because of their faith in Jesus. Christian families are watching their kids being killed by militant, crazy people. And we in our Western society, we got it pretty easy. We got it pretty good, but the report in the world is looking bad. The report over there is looking bad, but Joel prophesied it. And Peter preached it. He says, in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And as much as some people struggle to even comprehend this, all flesh means the Muslim world, it means the Hindu world, it means North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, Oceania, Australia. I mean, that all flesh is all flesh. And I'm telling you right now, we got to start praying into that. We need to start believing God for that. We need to start laying hold of God and saying, God, we trust you. God, we hold on to you. We know that you are able. You're not just able, but you're willing. And God, we speak revival in our land in the name of Jesus. God, touch our nation, touch the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can somebody give God a hand of praise this morning? Can somebody give God a shout of praise in this place? Can somebody lift up their voices and magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bright morning star? God, you are able. God, you are able. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say this. Hey, it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. Say it again. Say, it's not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit. I believe it this morning. I believe that if God did it once, he can do it again. I believe if God can touch a nation, he can do it again. I believe that if God can touch a city, he can do it again. This city was a city of churches. Why can't it still be the city of churches where everywhere you go, God's moving. Wherever you go, God's Spirit's moving. Do you know what I love about being part of the church? We're not the only good church. There's hundreds of good churches all over this city preaching the same Jesus we are, preaching the same Holy Spirit that we are, preaching the same message of faith that we are. And I believe one day God's going to just breathe on our diligence and touch this city with the glory of God. Come on, if you believe it, say amen this morning. We're going to sing 10,000 Reasons to Close, but let's all stand in the house. We're going to be done in about 1 minute. I have never finished a service on time in my life. This is a breakthrough, friends. We're talking about signs and wonders, just seeing them. You know why we finished on time? Because my wife just kept it so short in the middle. And some of you need a healing today. I know we've already prayed, but I do want to say this, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you might be here this morning and you need a breakthrough, and you did lift your hands before. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. And And we're going to believe God's hand to just change situations. Maybe some of you are listening through a podcast or some of you are listening on CD. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're dealing with. Wherever you are in the world right now, what I do know is that God can touch you where you're at. And so even if you're not in this physical building right now, you might be listening to this in 20 years from now. I don't know. But what I do know is that God can still reach you. And the same power that's in this room today is going to touch you and bless you. And so today, if you're in this room, I just want you, if you need a breakthrough from God, we're not going to move in and pray for people like we did before. We're just going to pray one prayer. And so if you're here today and you need a breakthrough from God, maybe you're listening on CD, you're listening on podcasts, however you are, I just want to ask you this question. If you need a breakthrough from God, wherever you are, lift your hands in the house this morning. God, you are able. God, you are able. Lord God, all over this building, hands are lifted. Hands are raised in faith. God, we come before you knowing that you're not just a God who can. You're also a God who will. Lord, we lift up every person in this room whose hands are lifted towards heaven. Holy Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would even get on them right now. Let your anointing come on them right now. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit begin to blow in that circumstance. Let the rain of heaven, the fire of the Holy Ghost, come on people this morning. Lord, breakthrough, healing. In the name of Jesus. God's here, you know. Just take a minute. Just take a minute. Let his anointing come on you. If you're visiting today, just let God touch you too. If you maybe you don't even need a miracle, let God touch you. Let the presence of God just touch you. We're going to sing this one time.